You could hear a pin drop in the lobby. It was that quiet.
The referee letting play continue. One last throw.
It's obviously hard now because of the way that's all ended, but
Scales is up after it. Scales wins ahead.
I'll have that forever.
Inner Drive, Episode 1 with Troy Parrott, out now on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by Allianz, a proud sponsor of Irish sport.
Off the ball.
It was an important game today, particularly after Portlaoise. We couldn't find, get into our groove or find a rhythm at all in Portlaoise, and we were holding out and feeling that we'd eventually find our groove, but we couldn't get no rhythm at all. And yeah, there's a lot of regrets in Hort after that game. It took us a long time to win the Delaney Cup, and we knew someday we'd have to hand it back, but today we wanted to hand it back. We wanted to at least go down on the sword, and we didn't feel that we did that at all. And yeah, the amount of work our boys have been doing over the last number of months, like, it's not easy accepting that. And we felt the best way to do something about it was to get back out onto the training field. And yeah, I alluded to that before the game, that, you know, when you come to this stage in all earning series, you got to be the best version of yourself, and if you want to be that, then the best place to start is in the training field. So yeah, like, that wasn't the perfect performance out there today by any stretch of the imagination. Like, there's a lot of unforced errors one way and the other. Still feel there's loads of things there that we can certainly improve on, but the one big thing today is that we stayed resilient and we didn't go away, and yeah, we took it down the stretch. And when you take something down the stretch, and then there's always a possibility that something could go your way, and thankfully today we got that wee rub of the green.
Dublin hit that purple patch just before half time, 1-4 in succession. It would have been very easy to drop the heads, but that character that you referenced there, you showed that in spades in the second half.
Yeah, I think Westmeath showed us a way. I think there was a period in the first half in the Leinster final, and again in the second, that Dublin got 2 5-point leads, but Westmeath stayed through and kept grinding and just kept the process, Nick's job, and yeah, they reeled Dublin back in. So I think we took a look at that in depth, and we felt that if we got to that place, and we were in it at half time, we were 6 down, that yeah, we just got to stay with it, take it down the stretch. And yeah, Dublin do that. They seem to blitz you from time to time, and it's able to run with the punches, I suppose.
Serious impact off the bench as well.
Yeah, like, we know this, it's like one manager after the next, it's, they say the same things. Like, it's the speed of the game now, and suicides up and down the pitch, and you need to look at your bench and try and use it as best you can, and at the same time stay in the game. So there's a lot of moving parts and a lot of variables, and someday they go your way and it looks as if today is perfect, and against Portlaoise we were the whipping boys. So it's amazing how it fluctuates one week to the next, and yeah, all we can do is just worry about what we can control. And we know we're working really hard back at home in Darver, and right through from grassroots, and yeah, this is the thing to this game we love. You never have it sussed. It's, you're up in the morning and every day is a new day, and try and make yourself better in every capacity.
Must be so pleasing as well, the last towards the end when Dublin made it really hot, but you won some serious possessions, a number of, like, talk about the old cliche, possession is vital, but there was unbelievable turnovers, fetches from the sky, and, you know, to see that game out.
Yeah, it's a new game now, and I think the FRC made it that way. They wanted to take the structure out of it as much as they could, and they've done a good job at it, because it's everything accumulates from kickouts. Like, if you lose 3 or 4 kickouts in the bounce, well, then all of a sudden you're looking at the scoreboard and things are drifting, and very quickly, if you can start to change momentum and win 3 or 4 kickouts, then all of a sudden you can reel them back in again. So yeah, look, I have to say I enjoy the new game. There's something fresh about it. But yeah, it's a new game. Like, there's so much out of it there that's in the lap of the gods, and it's been able to make those impacts and fight for every scrap. And yeah, you have up moments and down moments, but you got to just play the moment in front of your face, I suppose.
Yeah, some scenes at the end then as well, wasn't it? The whole collective.
Yeah, I think, like, just came out of the pain that we'd suffered in the last 4 weeks, and you know, we have big expectations just of ourselves, you know, and, you know, we just want to stay true to ourselves. And, like, as alluded, I suppose, at the start of the game, that I suppose only Westmeath and Armagh hasn't suffered a bad result, and we're no different than anyone else in Ireland, and we suffered ours, but the key was getting a reaction to it, and having a positive reaction. And yeah, look, we won today and things went our way, but we know, looking at the tape back, that still loads of improvement and loads of things we can do a lot better.
Special times, especially just with this group, and I suppose how Leinster Championship went for us, and the fact that it was against Dublin. yeah, it's a nice right couple of wrongs. It's Leinster finals last couple of years, Leinster this year. So it's nice to eventually get one over them, and I feel we deserve it. We took a lot of slander, I suppose, in the last couple of weeks for our performance, and deservedly so. Like the words pathetic and words like that were thrown out, and look, we were deserved of them. We didn't do ourselves any justice in Port Leash that day, so it's nice to get one back, and we had incredible support today, so to give them something to go down the road and cheer about of a bank holiday is nice.
It's not often in sport, like obviously when you lose a game you want to try and get out straight away and get a response for it, not quite revenge, that's too strong a word, but you know what I'm saying, you want to undo it. You don't often get that opportunity in sport. Was it a perfect draw in a way that you didn't need any motivation? I'd imagine it was like, come on lads, we have to improve on that performance in Port Leash.
Yeah, exactly, yeah, like as in years gone by, you could have waited a couple of years to play Dublin again, and yeah, as you say, you wouldn't be able to right your wrongs. So it was a perfect draw for us. It was always going to be a long 4 weeks without a game, but getting Dublin, I suppose it probably did allow us to get a wee bit more motivation and stick our training, and in fairness the lads did. So yeah, it was a good draw for us.
It's a horrible old cliche, goals win games, but ultimately they do. We got plenty of them in the second half. What was it like? It was helter-skelter to watch him. What was it like to play? And like, it went up and went down. Like, and this is all taken into the caveat that Dublin got that 1-4 blitz before half-time. So.
Yeah, well, they got a bit of a blitz at the start of the game, and we clawed it back well. Kieran McArdle kind of got a goal out of nowhere. So we were confident. Again, that's something from Port Leash. Like, the way the game's gone, you can claw back leads like that, and Westmeath did it in the Leinster final, and we weren't able to do it in the semi-final. We let the game get away from us, so drawing on experience. But as you say, yeah, I think helter skelter was probably the word. The sun was starting to come out. It was end to end. It was draining. I know myself, I gave away a couple of turnovers. I thought it was going to cost us the game, so it was tough. But like, that lends itself to the new rules. I was just talking to Kieran Downey there, and like as he says, you can have made plenty of big mistakes, but then it's the big moments that count as well. So it's just the new rules, the pace which mistakes are going to happen. It's tiring summer football, the heat. So yeah, it's good. It's an enjoyable game to be a part of.
Yeah, so you got that blitz. James got the two goals in quick succession. Then the Dublin old guard kind of clawed away back. Then you found another lease of life. And I suppose, just talk to me about the moment you get the ball in front of the hill. Many people are saying put it over, but you found a little gap on the bottom corner.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure. It just happened so quick. To be honest, I think it was Kieran Downey that shot, maybe. Bounced off the post. I thought it was over. Incredibly late to react. He kind of fell. The Dublin fellow kind of fell to the ground. So the turnover was probably the easy part of it. But I don't know. Probably not the right decision. But yeah, thank God it crept in.
And then at the end, it was just magical. You kept winning those big, big possessions. Yeah. And, you know, with the Hooter, it's, you know that you can keep the ball and you get a score then as well. It's,
yeah,
that must be very special.
Yeah, Casey's already getting a bit of a slack for his catch, and then this pose to the crowd, I suppose. But it was very funny. But no, huge moments. Lads stepping up. Niall McDonald again, a couple of huge saves. Getting the kick out away towards the end. Kieran McArdle, even like Casey, wins the ball and then kind of kicks it away, but Kieran McArdle does unreal. Paul matches off the shoulder, so yeah, a lot of lads stepping up towards the end of the game, so yeah, it's great to see.
So you're in Tuesday's draw, you're on the winner's side in 2A. It's going to be a big one, but you have at least two more games in the championship, one of which no matter what way route you go will be a knockout game, so big summer football ahead yet.
Yeah, exactly, yeah, and I think it's first team out is home, is
exactly,
it? Yeah, so
yeah.
Possibly a home fixture, wherever that is will be nice, so it'd be nice to get a home fixture. But yeah, plenty of football to be played over the coming weeks, so it's enjoyable. It's where you want to be, the games you want to be a part of.
We're going to talk to Mickey Quinn now, Jonathan, here at Croke Park, because there's no other bigger story than this one. Mickey Quinn, the last time Louth beat Dublin in the championship was 1973. Eamon de Valera had not left office as president of the country. This is a seismic win for Louth.
You're testing my history, but I'll believe you on that one. Yeah, brilliant. Look, at that's one thing. They won the Leinster title last year, and then there's that thing in the back of the mind didn't have to beat Dublin to win it. So something like that, that result, and so long since beating Dublin, it's huge. It's huge for Loud. And to bounce on from last year and not just kind of dwindle away after a season that they're after having, to be able to back it up this year has been super. But the story for me, and if you see that grab at the end, Dublin had brought it back to 2 points and long kick out. This had to go long, last play of the game, and it goes long, and Casey Byrne climbs up the back of his own teammate, up his, on his shoulders, AFL style, like what he done in Carlton, and he takes a massive fetch, turns around, bombs it into the full forward line, and they hit the final score of the game to stretch it out to 3 points. But Loud hit 6 points from the bench. Their bench got 6 points, which is huge. And then you have Craig Lennon chipped in with 1-2, 1-3 from wing back. Like, their spread of scorers is probably something that we had probably talked about before the game, that Dublin probably reliance on Costello, and probably hadn't had one of his greatest games. I think he had 7 shots in the first half and had 4 points off that, one of those a two-pointer. So he probably wasn't firing on all cylinders, and it still came back down to the likes of Kilkenny, Niall Scully leading the four, Bugler hit a two-pointer. But I think the big thing was the spread of scores that Loud had, and the bench, the strength off the bench. Did Tommy Dernan come on, Casey Byrne, and a few other guys that really put their shoulder to the wheel to get across the line.
It was 20 points to 10 in favour of Dublin in the Leinster semi-final, Mickey. Loud scoring 30 points today, 4-18. What has changed?
Their efficiency straight off the bat. Second half, I have it down that in the second half, they'd only one shot. Was it wide or short in the second half, that they were really efficient in how they went about their scores. Looking at some of the stats that came here, chances converted from play 17, Loud had 7 wides, Dublin had 7 wides, and the turnover count was pretty much 10 to 11. But they got a handle of O'Sullivan's kickouts, when they went long, when they forced them long, they really got huge joy, Loud, off their kickouts in the second half.
Stephen Cluxton was the man who arguably changed Gaelic football, the Dublin goalkeeper and the record championship holder. Over 130 appearances in the championship. He's gone now, and a big decision to replace Evan Comerford with Hugh O'Sullivan. You know, you don't want to be singling out players in an amateur game, and I didn't see the game, obviously, I'm relying on what you're saying here now, Mickey, but they haven't got the goalkeeper position right, obviously.
I think it's one of those pressure situations, and probably movement and targets, and with the way the new game has gone, that option of actually having the short option, which Cluxton was super at, you probably haven't as much space. One thing that it looked like, that the reason to go with O'Sullivan, it seemed like his speed off the tee was probably the massive thing that was the difference in going with Comerford. He got away really fast, quick kickouts. But the way the game has gone, you have to be able to mix it. His longer ones, probably when Loud set up that zonal press off a free kick or a slower play, and he wasn't able to find the same joy on the long ones. So you have to be able to mix it, and that's one thing with the keeper position, that I suppose the buck stops with them, that they're the fall guy. If the kickouts don't come away, you kick it long, it's your fault. You kick it short, and it puts pressure on for a couple of goals or a goal opportunity. Whereas he tried different things, and he moved it quickly. I wouldn't say it was a massive thing, his fault,
sure,
out and out, but I think he definitely, he died with his boots on trying what Dublin were trying to do.
It's more symbolic maybe of Dublin not having the generational players anymore. Stephen Cluxton, the most biggest figurehead in that regard. James McCarthy, Brian Fenton, Michael Fitzsimons, the Brogans, all these top players that have gone now. Dermot Connolly, Kevin McManaman, I could reel them off for probably about a half an hour. Dublin, it doesn't seem that their dominance that they had 6 in a row, they're just back in the pack now. They're just another, they're an ordinary team again, an ordinary county.
Yeah, and look at Everton. Remember a sports psychologist talking before, but there's no such thing as momentum, and it's funny. I disagree with that, and you look into the psyche of the whole thing, there definitely is. That momentum now has been broken, and it's very hard to get the ball moving again for them, and you kind of regroup. You see Cormac Costello was off the pitch before nearly the final whistle was gone. He was up the dugout, he was gone really fast, and a few players afterwards, which it's something a lot of those Dublin guys aren't used to being on the receiving end of a defeat, and a close game defeat like that. So and two in quick succession. So what Dublin is going to come in the next couple of weeks, it's going to be a real tester, and how that draw pans out. All eyes are going to be on that, and where the leaders step up. It's going to be a really difficult challenge. And obviously, we mentioned it beforehand about the Ger Brennan factor. If you lose, it's something that you come back to. Is it playing on things? Does it change the dynamic in the group? Maybe it does after two losses like that. So yeah, it's going to be a very interesting week or two for Dublin, and where they go from here is it's definitely going to be a lot of soul searching the next couple of days.
I think it's important, as you're saying there, Mickey, to point out with the new system, folks, for the football championship, just in case you're not completely sure of it. Dublin are not out. They got a bit like Kerry last week. They've got one more chance, but if they lose again, they are out. With Louth, they're one more win away now from a quarter final berth, and to give them credit, like Louth, Jonathan was saying there that on the pitch it was Kieran Byrne who was the sub, was the man of the match. I mean, who stood out for you today? See, Samuel Roy got 5 points, and obviously as well in the second half, James McGuire got 2 goals in quick succession.
Yeah, I think, you know, Sam was probably quiet by his standards, but what Sam does really well is he's playing the role for the team. Like, he's pulling guys out to the wing. Hit 5 points, he hit a 2-pointer, he hit probably 2 frees, not much from play, but he plays the smart game. But James McGuire at midfield dominated on breaking ball and winning around the middle, and then chip in with 2 goals from midfield. Craig Lennon, super 1-2-1-3 from wing back. And when you see his goal, he tucked it in, got in round the back, kept it low, and a chance that I think it was actually a 2-pointer that came back off the post, looked like the chance was gone and that Dublin could have been on a counter attack, and he managed to get in, get on the break, and then bury it into the back of the net. So it's things like that the hunger there that Loud showed. But Craig Lennon, James McGuire, Casey Byrne was super. Having Ryan Burns coming off the bench, his first touch in the second half when he came on was a 2-point score. The spread of scores was something, and Tommy Dernan having experience like that coming on. I think Loud were just after scoring a goal, and they brought on Casey Byrne and Tommy Dernan, and then the next kick out they won it and got another, tagged on another point. And that's probably the quality that they had to come off the bench. Dublin just didn't get the same impact. Lee Gannon was probably the biggest name coming off the bench and didn't have the same impact coming on.
I have to say, it's Loud's biggest win since the Leinster final last year when they broke that hoodoo going back to 1957. But for Dublin, one stat that interests me, Mickey, just looking at the last couple of games, they've only scored 1 goal and they've conceded 6.
Yep. It's a massive flip around from what the Dublin of old you'd look at. And let's be honest, the opportunities were there at different stages today, but I think they actually, it's interesting to look back and they blocked themselves up a little bit. They tended to maybe crowd the area in front of the top of goals to try and free up 1 point opportunities at the top of the D, but there was one or two quick little 1-2 opportunities that were there for a goal chance, but there was that many numbers in front of the goals that they blocked each other up. They had four Dublin players and 5 at times standing in front, maybe trying to make space out the field, but they're neither doing one thing or the other. They're neither hitting 2-pointers or they're scoring goals. So having crowding that area inside, to me, looks like they're kind of bit of an identity thing. Which are we? Are we scoring goals? Are we scoring 2-pointers? Are we just trying to be really efficient with our 1-pointers? And the way the game has gone, you have to be able to spread that. You have to be able to hit the 2-pointers to go for goal chances or create the goal chances. Which you look back on the team of old with Dublin, that go for goal and then take your point then after that. And that was probably the mantra that what you would have seen before, the likes of Michael Darren McCauley bombing through, quick 1-2s, Pam goals. That those opportunities, I think, were almost there, but whether it's a confidence thing or whether it's a tactical thing, they just didn't come off today.
It's interesting that in 2015, Kilkenny were at the end, as we know now, of 8 All-Irelands in 10 years, and Dublin in that year began the run to 6 in a row. like the Kilkenny hurling story, the Dublin football story, the decline relative to their dominance and utter dominance in the championship is a very interesting story from 2026. And I suppose to finish, Mickey Quinn, former Longford star, where you watched your own county win the Laurie Mar Cup in hurling today, it just feels with this new game that the playing field across the country is more level.
Possibly, yeah. I think, we're probably being very harsh and probably high expectations on Dublin too, that, you know, you're never going to live up to that, and that comparison is always going to be there, and it's difficult to try and keep playing at that level and maybe winning. But I think the rules, if you look at how teams have adapted to them, and some teams have maybe changed their style, let's say Dublin haven't probably adapted, or maybe the players that they have, it doesn't, they're not catering for that style of play either. So it all depends. You're looking at the Donegals, the Armaghs, and you're looking at maybe the spread of scores from one pointers to two pointers to goals, and then you're seeing, does the two pointer is it a be-all and end-all across the league? It was something that was pinpointed. It wasn't actually that big of a game changer. It wasn't a winner or losing of a game, the two-pointers. It's just having the ability to change up where your scores are coming from, whether that be a range of different scores, whether it be one-pointers, two-pointers, or goals. But you have to be able to tap into all of them. And the likes of Loud there today, they only had two two-pointers, Ryan Burns and Sam Mulroy. Dublin had one, but had attempted four, I think it was. And it's the goals, as you said there, no goals in the last
two games,
and one today. So I think that's an area that Dublin would have prided themselves on before, creating goal chances, and they're probably just not getting them at the moment.
Mickey Quinn, thanks so much for today, and safe home.
You could hear a pin drop in the lobby. It was that quiet.
The referee letting play continue. One last throw.
It's obviously hard now because of the way that's all ended, but
Scales is up after it. Scales wins ahead.
I'll have that forever.
Yeah! There's the goal! That's Troy Parrott. That is unbelievable.
Inner Drive, Episode 1 with Troy Parrott, out now on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by Allianz, a proud sponsor of Irish sport.
Off the ball.